welcome Cornerstone Bible Fellowship family and all you visitors out there in YouTube land and Facebook. This is week two of online church. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you also that last week, many of you on Facebook liked the Facebook post, or you commented on it, or you shared it. We greatly appreciate that as well. Well, I'm speaking to you again today from our church sanctuary. Behind the pulpit, which the old-timers referred to as the sacred desk, and I have my Bible before me wide open, and I have an audience of three people in the sanctuary. So here we go today. When you look at the cultural and historical setting of the Scripture, from our lens of what you think a normal life is like, we quickly realize that in the Old Testament and the New Testament, life was not what we would call normal. For example, in the New Testament was set and written during the time of the Roman Empire. Order was kept by the military by force. The emperor and the territorial governors were often brutal and wicked. They would change leaders not by elections, but by executions or exile. The emperor was considered a god. Plus, many of the Gentile cities and regions of that time also had their own gods and their own goddesses. So idol worship was very prevalent and was often accompanied by grossly profane and perverted lifestyles. There was some religious tolerance for Jews, but there was none for Christians. So therefore, when we read the words of the New Testament in those cultural contexts, we realize that to live the Christian life then was rather complex and challenging, even life-threatening. So, when the Apostle Paul, a prisoner of the Roman Empire, because he was preaching about Jesus, when he was held captive in the city of Rome, wrote to the Ephesian church, our text is from Ephesians, a church that was encompassed by idolatry and immorality because the temple of Diana was there. The city's economy revolved around that temple of Diana, that religious cult, when he wrote some basic moral instructions. There would be a profound, difficult implications in how to put them in practice. Statements like in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, where Paul writes, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, how did followers back then put that into practice? It would be difficult, but it would not be impossible. Fast forward today to 2000 years. So here we are. We're not living in violent persecution, but we are experiencing a measure of it. Our culture is filled with the idolatry of selfishness and sensuality, and now our world is experiencing a tremendous economic turmoil because of a worldwide public health crisis. Normal life is not normal anymore. So how do we take these simple words and faithfully live them out in a new normal or in an abnormal times or what we call unprecedented times? Again, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. Paul writes, very simple words, but very significant. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Well, I trust you have your Bibles open to take a look at this. I have a three-point message here. Each of the verses is a specific point. The first point is this: be wise. Verse 15. "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." You could translate this verse: look carefully how you live your life, not as fools, but as wise. We are to be wise. That means to be spiritually smart, to live out our faith in godliness We're not to be foolish, which would be spiritually stupid, and live in a life of sin. Now, Paul had already addressed the contrast of those two things, because the first word in verse 15 is the word therefore. The word therefore is there because in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, he describes a godly life. He says, therefore be imitators of God, his beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. That is the description of the wisdom walk. That is what we need to be doing to walk wisely. And it's patterned after Christ himself, because Christ gave himself up for us. Our motivation is the sacrifice of Christ. That's why we want to be wise. And then verses 3 through 12 give us a description of the sinful walk, the foolish walk, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among the saints. And then it goes on with this litany of these evil activities that foolish people do, to the point where the Apostle Paul writes in verse 11, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. That's how the world lives, and that is not at all how the Christians should live. The walk of the fools means to live after the conduct of the ungodly, and no way that Christians should be doing that. We should be living wisely, a lifestyle pattern after Christ himself. What would Jesus do? To walk wise means we live in light of our position as God's children through Christ who loves us. It's interesting, John Stott in his commentary on this little paragraph writes this. Paul's little paragraph is based on two assumptions. First, that Christians are wise people, not fools. And secondly, that Christian wisdom is practical wisdom. Yes, we can actually live this life. We actually can live a wise life in a normal world, quote whatever that is, and in an abnormal, unprecedented world. We can live a wise life. Warren Wiersbe describes it like this. See that you walk carefully with exactness. We cannot leave the Christian life to chance. So we must, like the Ephesians, live a wise life now in our unprecedented times, in our world of crisis. So how are you being wise in your family life? How are you being wise with your work ethic? How are you being wise, students, in your schooling? How are you being wise in your choices of entertainment? The use of your smartphone, your tablet, your television. We need to live wise lives in the midst of a foolish world. That's the first principle. Now, if you need any more insight into wisdom and contrast to foolishness, there's a whole book in the Bible about wisdom. It's the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs gives us insight into what a wise, godly life looks like. You might even have time. 31 chapters. You can read a chapter a day, each for a month, and you can get the insight in the book of Proverbs, a life of wisdom. So there you have the first point. The second point is making the most of your time because the days are evil. Time is a very precious commodity. Once spent, it cannot be bought back. We all have the same amount of time. None of us can stretch time. Wise people know how to use it to the fullest. Wise people do not mark time, do not waste time, do not kill time, but buy up every opportunity. It's interesting. We have always seen this verse, making the most of your time because the days are evil, in the context of a busy, harried life. But right now, because of what's going on in our world today, we're at virtually a standstill. It gives us new understanding of this passage. How do we make the most of our time virtually standing still? Many of you may be unemployed. Many of you may be working from home. You can't go out to eat. You can't go to the gym. You can't take a vacation. You can't attend church. You can't even attend a wedding or a funeral. You can't even visit somebody in the hospital. We have to stay home or minimize our trips. So how do we make the most of our time in the midst of this? I appreciated the insight that Believer's Commentary stated. It said this, very simply, living lives noted for holiness, deeds of mercy, and words of help. I think that helps us understand that a little bit better. Let me repeat it again, Believer's Commentary. That making the most of our time means living lives noted for holiness, deeds of mercy, and words of help. Good insight, making the most of our time. And there is an urgency behind this because the days are evil. They were back then when Paul wrote this, they are now. That means that there are many temptations around us that will cause us to waste our time, to be foolish, to harm our relationship with God and with others. We need to make the most of our opportunities while they last. We do not have unlimited time. Plus, understand, someday God's patience is going to come to an end. And God will not strive with mankind forever. He will return and set up His perfect kingdom. Therefore, until that time, our lives on earth, the opportunities for worship and witness and work will be ended in this lifetime. Therefore, we need to make the most of our time. So please, don't live on television alone. Get to know your family. Call somebody up. Find ways to serve. You know, we're Americans. We're pretty creative. I even realized that last week there were some churches that were doing drive-in church. That's not a bad idea. I'm not sure that when they want to say amen, honking their horn would be a good idea, but maybe flashing their lights would be okay. Maybe drive-in church isn't a bad idea after all. And I even thank you for taking the time to watch this. There are a lot of other things we can be doing. So thank you for making the most of your time by watching this. So that's the second point. The third point in this text is verse 17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He brings up that foolishness thing again, the idea of moral stupidity in action. If we don't know the will of God, our lives will be foolish. They'll be frantic and they'll be feverish. Instead, we need to understand what the will of God is. Now, that is more than just knowing facts about God's truth. It means a deep comprehension that leads to life change. You want to understand the will of God? It goes like this. Several times in the Bible, we see passages of Scripture that says, this is the will of God that you do this. We need to understand that the moral will of God, how us to live right lives, God-honoring lives, is found in the Bible. The moral will of God is revealed to us in God's holy word. And our responsibility to the moral will of God, to understand it, is to obey it. The second thing is, there is the wisdom will of God. James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. There are times when we need to understand, do I make this decision this way, or this decision that way, or how do I spend my money, or how do I do this with my family, or do this in my job? We have to go to God and seek His wisdom. The wisdom will of God, we must seek. And then there's the sovereign will of God. The sovereign will of God is the will of God that God only knows. We live in a world where God rules. And God does things in this world that we do not understand. Therefore, we need to trust Him. We do not understand why the coronavirus is here at this time. With this impact. We have no idea. But God, who rules and reigns supreme, knows. It is within His sovereign will. We must trust it. His moral will, we must obey. His wisdom will, we must seek. And His sovereign will, we must trust. That's how we can live wisely, understanding what the will of the Lord is. So there you have 3 points here today. Be wise, make the most of your time, and understand God's will as we live our new normal lives at this time. Remember earlier in the message, I said the text assumes that the readers, the listeners, are Christians. Let me not make that assumption today. Those of you who are listening, are you a Christian? Are you a child of God? Is Jesus your Savior? Has there ever been a point in your life when you made that decision to accept Christ as your Savior? You acknowledge that you were a sinner. You realize that when Christ went to the cross, He took all of your sins to forgive you, to give you His righteousness, to give you life everlasting. Has there been that point in your life? If not, today is a day of salvation. I can put it this way. The ABCs of salvation. A, admit that you are a sinner. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. C, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. Very simple. And a simple prayer of confession. Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I have fallen short of your glory. I have failed you. Thank you that Jesus went to the cross and died for my sins. I invite Jesus into my life to live and to rule and to reign. I give my life to you and I want to honor you. I want to love you. I want to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. A simple prayer like that. Make sure that you are a Christian so that you can be wise. You can make the most of your days. You can understand and live out the will of God. Well, that's my message for today. So when I close this video, however, please don't close your Bibles. You have the time. Take a few moments and read the entirety of chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Ephesians. The verses before this passage, verses 13 through 12 in chapter 5, explain to you what foolishness is and that it will waste your life and it's not God's will. And the verses after verse 17, they will show you, verses through chapter 5 and chapter 6, they will show you how to live a life of wisdom and how to make the most of your time and how to live God's will. Live differently in these unpredictable, abnormal times. But remember that God loves you. God has the best for you. The gospel message doesn't change. John 3:16 is still true. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you real good. Thank you for joining us today. How many minutes was that?